The exaltation of the Holy Cross. What should be the Christian's stance, posture, attitude before the cross of Jesus Christ? Like, what is the response to the gift that we didn't deserve? What's our response to Jesus laying down his life for the Father giving us his Son out of love? And I think there needs to be two movements. And the first is to repent. That Jesus goes to the cross because of my sin, not just the sin of Adam and Eve, but because of my sin, that I need to repent. I need to turn back. I need to be able to tell the Lord, I don't like the person that I've become. I don't like the things that I've done. And I'm sorry, Lord, that I haven't lived up to your great call for me to live into my own Christian dignity, that I need to move away from these things that I know keep me from you. I need to repent. But then secondly, we need to move into a position of adoration and worship. That I know I'm not deserving of your goodness. I'm not deserving of your love. And yet you choose me. It was not you who chose me, Jesus tells us, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So I can't live in this humble or this dejected spirit where I don't deserve God, but I have to move into a place of confident adoration, confident worship, to say, you are so good that sinner though I am, you continue to pursue me. You continue to call me to come closer to you, that God never gives up on us. In a week that was marred with a lot of brutality and an awful assassination that was very public, other school shootings, it's been a really dark, heavy week for so many. And this is what Jesus walks into, that the light has come into the darkness, and the darkness shall never overcome it. Do we believe that? Do we search for all other different sorts of solutions? Do we believe that Christ can be the light that illuminates every human person? Do you believe that Jesus can do it? And do you believe that he wants to do it? But he can only start with one individual soul. I would love for America to be this great nation of shining Christianity, that every person would all of a sudden, overnight, become a dear follower of Jesus. But God desires our participation. God desires my will. God desires my love. And that means it has to begin with me, that I need to draw close to him, to look upon the cross and have sorrow for my sins, to say, I'm sorry, Lord. I do it time and again, the same things over and over and over again. And I need to repent. I need to turn away from those things that keep me from you. And I just want to humble myself in adoration to say, you are good. And we need to be, as Christians, we need to be able to hold two things in our hands simultaneously at the same time. Sometimes our lives really stink, but God is always good. Sometimes the world is really messed up, but God is still really good. Those two things aren't contradictions. That God continues to pour his abundance into every heart that desires him, every heart that's open to him. And that's what repentance does. It opens our hearts to receive more of him. We hear in the Old Testament about the Israelites walking through the wilderness, walking through the desert. And Moses is their appointed, their chosen leader. That Jesus becomes the new Moses. He's the one who's going to lead us into a new exodus, out of this world of sin and chaos, into a world of peace, the heavenly Jerusalem. And Moses, as he's journeying with the people, they start grumbling. They say, why did you bring us out here? We don't want to be here anymore. We want to go back to Egypt. At least we had something to eat, more than just bread. And Moses has to deal with the people. And you ask maybe the abstract question of, what is a cross? What is a cross? I think my easiest definition is wherever my will or my expectations for how things are to go meet with the reality, the horizontal bar of my life, my expectations, my hopes, and when the reality doesn't match that, it forms a cross. Basically, the cross is when things don't go my way. Things don't go our way a lot. And Jesus never told us we wouldn't have crosses, or Jesus never told us that if you follow me, if you stay close to me, your life's going to be really easy and comfortable. But you want that. You want an easy and comfortable life. I want an easy and comfortable life. I don't like crosses. That's the point, honestly. It hurts that when things don't go my way, that I have to surrender to my own cross. But what do we do? What do I do? I'll talk about myself all day. I run. I say, I don't want this. I avoid it. Numb out the pain. Find ways to make myself comfortable and cozy. And I lock my heart in a little chest, a little treasure chest in my heart where nobody can see it, where it can't be hurt, I can't be wounded, that I won't go to the nth degree because of love, and that our hearts stay small and shriveled up. And yet God desires so much more for us, that we would accept whatever cross the Lord puts before us this day. And sometimes that cross is just avoiding temptation, or sometimes that cross is taking extra time for a family member. This is family weekend. As far as I'm concerned, most of your crosses reside in your families. It's true. These are the people you're with the most. These are the people who expect the most out of you. These are the people who require time and energy. And you need to acknowledge it as a cross. But you don't get to not have a cross. The question is, what am I going to do with it? What am I going to do with the crosses that Jesus brings into my life? That marriage is a beautiful and holy cross, but it's a cross. That children are a beautiful and holy cross, but they're a cross. That your studies, students, are a beautiful and holy cross, but it's a cross. And then the question is, what do I want to do with that? Do I want to avoid? Find easier ways, easier paths, or am I willing to embrace it lovingly? Jesus tells us in the gospel today that just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. That in the desert, the bronze serpent became the healing remedy for everyone who had been bitten by a serpent, that Moses fashions this bronze serpent, and as soon as they look upon it, they are healed. If we can look upon this cross with faith, if we can look upon this cross with hope, if we can look upon this cross with love, the more we adore him, the more we'll be healed. The more I repent and turn away from a life of old, the more I'll be healed. So must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that he who believes in him might not perish but might have eternal life. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. You and I are saved through Jesus Christ, the one and the only. Only he could take an instrument of death and turn it into an instrument of life. That's God recreating, making all things new. And it only can happen in my heart. I can't force it anywhere else. What's our response to the cross of Jesus Christ? We repent and we adore. And today we get to do that in a beautiful way at Holy Mass, where Jesus comes in the Eucharist, not to condemn us, but that we might be saved through him.